I'm so darn bullheaded, even though 98% of the fast blasters are saying, don't do the Ouija board show, don't bring it in the studio. I'll probably still do it. Hey, Maria, before we get going here into the rest of the phone calls this hour, I want to thank you for being on the program. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Do you have a website you want to give out?
The website is spellslove.com. That's SPELLSLOVE.com.
So, if somebody wanted to capture someone, they would go to you for a spell and you would do your little incantation and, or something like that?
Well, first I would do is a case analysis to see if magic can even be used for that person's particular case.
'Cause not every spell can work, right?
Correct. I would first need to hear about the person's case and what it is they want me to do. Once I determined that, then I would ask them if they had faith or if they believed or if they had any success in the past with magic. Sometimes I'm able to determine how successful they will be at it. But for the most part, I would do a reading to make sure that I could do it. And then I would proceed with the spell. And then I would tell the person what to expect from the spell.
Okay, to the phones we go. Wild card line. Good morning. It's your turn. Hi.
Yes, good morning.
Hi.
I'm so glad to be talking with you. I came across your show, maybe 4 or 5 months ago, and I've been addicted ever
Oh,
since.
great. I'm glad you found us.
Yeah. Well, I'm calling to ask Maria a question about this spirit or entity or whatever it was that used
Okay.
to come through for me
Sure.
as a kid. You know, we were preteens and had gotten hold of a Ouija board, and my girlfriends and I used to use it probably for a few months fairly regularly. And I would always get this, when it was my turn, I would always get this creature that called itself Wuick, Wuick. And I'm not really blessed with good luck in my life, and I was wondering if that was a known entity of any kind.
Have you heard of this, Maria?
I just feel that was just an earthbound spirit. But if are you associating the fact that you contact the spirit with your misfortune or your luck?
I'm just wondering. I'm a perpetually curious person.
Yes.
And my family has always described to me as snake bit. So I was just wondering if this might be attributed to that or if it's just the way life is.
And how did you spell the name of the spirit?
Wuick.
ICK. All right. Did
Yeah.
you ever do a search, computer search for this?
I wouldn't know how to do a
I may
search.
do that. Wuick.
ICK.
Okay, I'm gonna do that for you while you're on with it. Now,
Wonderful.
it didn't hurt you or anything though, did it?
No, but it would always spell things that did not appear to have anything to do with any known language.
Okay.
And we
What
never. Yeah.
did it want?
Well, nobody could understand what it was talking about. It was always, erratic alphabetical characters that we couldn't, of course, we only spoke English and we couldn't. But it didn't seem to have any logic to it, so we couldn't associate it with any language. We probably would have somehow, some way, recognized anything in French or Spanish. Well, my one girlfriend was Spanish, so she would have definitely recognized Spanish.
Yeah, it doesn't. What I'm picking up from that is it sounds like definitely a spirit that spoke a different language, but maybe even a spirit that was in life that had some problems, that was very confused and a very confusing entity with that particular name. As far as causing you problems or whatnot, I don't think it has to do with the spirit, though.
Okay. All right. I just have always been curious.
Okay, and there's not much on the old computer
Ah,
with
okay.
something like that, but somebody may find it for us, and if they do, I'll mention it on the air for you, okay?
Well, wonderful. And it was just really a thrill to speak with you. And you guys have given me much enjoyment over the last 4 or 5 months,
Well,
and I will
we've
continue.
got years ahead too.
You mean
Thanks.
I'm never going to get any sleep?
You'll never get any sleep again.
Okay, well, you have a wonderful evening or morning.
All right, you're welcome. See, we're in cahoots with the pharmaceutical industry that makes sleeping pills.
Yeah.
Now, if anybody knew this show, they'd know that was not the case. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Hi, this is William, and I'm traveling down I-35 from Kansas heading to Dallas.
Okay, William. Drive safely. What's your question?
Well, I have a two-part question, actually. The first one goes back to the very beginning of your conversation where I believe you mentioned that at one time, I think it was when you were in college, you stated that you became upon a possession. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, now how did you overpower that possession?
Interesting. Yes. Basically, what I did was I just kept saying the Lord's Prayer over and over and over. And like I said, at that particular time, I wasn't doing any voodoo. I was just in a dorm where someone had passed away or committed suicide, and no one had even told anyone about it. And that's what I did, and it seemed to release me after that.
I see.
So I said a prayer. That's what I did.
I understand. The other question I have, and I've practiced metaphysics ever since I was like in eighth grade many, many moons ago. But the question I have, dealing with your casting of spells, I myself have been involved in different kind of covens, but the question I really have for you is, how do you feel about allowing the ability of casting spells for love spells or whatever spells you all have, and dabbling with free will from the person who it might not even be in their path to actually cross this person, and you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I
mean, because aren't you dealing with a person's free will when it's not? It's very possible that that's not even a part of their life that they're supposed to be experiencing?
Sure, and I understand your question. Basically, what I tell people is that, you know, in a situation where if it's really against that other person's will to be with that particular person, probably nothing will happen. But for the most part, if that other party is open enough and their will is not that strong where they do not mind, I don't really look at it as anything like I haven't had any complaints, let's just say that, after doing the love spells on situations like that. But I don't take cases where the person says, look, I don't want nothing to do with this individual. I won't
right.
take a case like that, because you're right, that is going against the person's free will.
Yeah, but the other person, though, that the love spell is for, not the person that has actually hired you to do it, but how do they know that they're even if they don't know that they have this spell being put on
right.
put
the,
on them?
The victim.
Is their free will being involved?
That's good.
Do they know that their free will is
manipulated?
Manipulated. Thank you.
I would probably say, you know, that's a gray area. Some people have different thoughts about that. I guess it's because it's dealing with love, and we don't look at love as something as being anything harmful. But I can see your point, but for the most part, like I said, the love spells that I do, they're usually embellishing something that's already there. It's not trying to, or maybe bringing a person back that has recently left, giving a person a second chance. I try not to judge the individual why they're doing the spell or what purpose. I just look at it like, well, I know the person is in pain. Some people will actually come to me and that's what they want, you know? And, you know, so I feel that, you know, like I said, if the person tells me, look, he said I don't want nothing to do with you, of course I won't take a case like that. But if it's just a case where they're saying, you know, I want him to pay more attention, or I want this relationship to move forward so we can have a more committed relationship, those are the cases that I work with. So I do understand what you're saying, and some people may have an issue with that. I don't take an issue like I'm really bending the person's will so much, because of the fact that I never get any complaints about the love spells from the men. In fact, it seems like when the spell wears off, that's when, you know, the person may go back to their natural state. So it's not a permanent thing, and that's what people need to realize.
I'm going to want you to make me a gallon of some love potion.
Oh, I would love to do some kind of love work for you.
Maybe 2 gallons. By the way, I want everyone to know we will do the Ouija board show. I'm going to do it while I'm in Los Angeles, so that's going to be in the not-too-distant future. I want to do it in this studio, not in the cave in St. Louis. So we'll do it here in L.A. And also, we are diligently working on the great one-hour debate between J.C. and Oscar, the son of Satan. Those are the two that we have honed in on. J.C.'s ready to do it. Oscar, we're just waiting for one more initial contact to see if he will do it as well. We do all kinds of things on the show, Maria.
Interesting.
Yes, we do. All kinds. Would you do for me, just for a few minutes before we go back to more calls,
sure,
some kind of voodoo demonstration, just so we can get an idea of what you do, even if you have to make something up? I just want to hear you or get the feeling of what you do.
Now you're kind of talking about Hollywood voodoo, and I don't really want to play into that.
No, not that. I want you to, you know, do something legitimate, something that's real, just so we can hear how it's done. I mean, do you need a topic for me, something?
Well, most of the time, you mean like an incantation?
Yeah. I just want to hear what. I've never really heard the non-Hollywood version.
Well, it's just a chant.
All right, here's one. Like, for my producer, Tom Danheiser, for his personal problem, which I'm not going to tell you what it is, but can you do an incantation for him?
That wouldn't be sufficient enough. I would have to do a spell, and I would not mind doing a spell, actually. If somebody wanted me to do a spell for them, I would love to do a love spell for someone that has a problem, maybe even in the radio station with their love life.
All right. You want to do a love spell on Tom?
If it's not against his will, and if he's in agreement with
it. Well, all right. We're gonna have to squawk box here, Tom. We need your permission to do this love spell.
In the interest of the show, you have my permission.
All right. Did you hear that?
Yes.
All right. You have his permission. So do something to help the poor guy out.
Well, I would have to send him a chant. That's what I would do. I would have to send him a chant, and I would have to know more about his problem and how he wants
problem?
Me to
well,
solve
I can tell
it.
You that. It's a disaster.
Is there a particular individual that he is after or that he wants, or does he want new love in his life?
I think he wants any love in his life.
It's just an experiment.
Yeah, he's just an experiment. He's getting kind of embarrassed in his little time.
I feel that I could help him with something.
All right, give us a spell, a chant, something. I just want to hear what you do, that's all. And then we'll take more calls, and I won't bug you about this anymore.
Basically, when you say that you want to hear what I do is you have to see what I do. Because a spell, you have to see it. It's not just hearing it. I can say a chant to you. I can do an in tranquil spirit chant. I can summons an in tranquil spirit. But then at the same time, it's more than that, George. It's more than just a person saying a few words. It's more than that. It's candles.
It's in depth, isn't it?
Yes, it's so much more than that.
And I don't want to cheapen it for you.
Exactly.
It could backfire on him, and that his life could be worse than it is.
Well, he would need more than just that.
Okay. Well, gosh, what can you do for us, just so we can get an impression of what you do?
Well, how about if...
Do you hum anything like that?
No. George, it's not like that. It's not like that. I do spells. I do rituals. Yes, I do chantings, but I don't just say something. I've had some people say, Maria, can't you just say something and make something happen? It does not work like that, George.
Well, how about so we can all have a nice day tomorrow? Something like that.
I can say a prayer for you. Yes.
All right. Can you do that?
Yes, I can say a prayer for you.
All right.
I'll pray that your ratings on your radio station will go up.
Well, they're pretty darn high now. If they go much higher, they'll
get
me
even
away.
Higher.
All right. Greed is good, I guess.
But no, seriously, I would love to take a case and handle it properly instead of just saying an incantation, which would probably do very little because you would need much more than that.
Well, all right. I don't want to be accused of trying to sensationalize what you do.
Okay.
You know, if it's more in depth than this,
yes, it is,
then so be it.
It is.
But we do have to help Tom at a later date.
Sure, absolutely. I'm here for him.
It may take 52 sessions.
I don't think it would take that much.
You don't think so?
No, I don't. All he would have to do is to tell me what it is he desires. What is it that he really wants? And what kind of woman does he want?
He wants a Stepford wife.
But no, seriously, it would take more than that. And I don't really want to cheapen it or make it seem cheesy and make people, because people will think, that's all I have to do? No, really, there's more that you have to do.
All right, well, good. I'm glad you stuck with your guns. That impresses me. Wildcard line, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Good evening, George. This is Ben out in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hey, Ben. Thanks for calling.
Maria, this is a little bit along the lines of what George was just trying to do. Have you ever heard of somebody called Pierre Chiarza?
No.
Or Chiarza? Okay. Okay, how do I say this? Okay, when you do your chants or your incantations or whatever, the spoken part, do you use some sort of quote-unquote holy language or like Fon or Yoruba or something like that?
Yes.
Or do you just do them in English?
Sometimes I do it in both. It will depend upon what the chant that I'm doing. When I'm writing it for the client, of course, it's going to be in English, and I'm going to make it as simple as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But on my end, for the most part, it will depend on the spell. Most of the time, I'm doing the same types of spells over and over.
Are we talking African languages? Because, like, you know, I've heard that there's a form of voodoo in Indonesia and in the Americas.
Sure,
everywhere.
I understand what you're saying.
So, like, what language would you do it in?
I would do it in English, because that's the language that I speak in. And spirits, whatever language you speak in should be the language you should perform your magic in. Now, there will be some books where maybe it'll be in another language, and you can do it that way. But if you don't understand what you're saying, do you understand? Well, I would do it in the language that you're familiar with.
All right.
Because you could mess it up.
Stay with us. We'll be back. We're going to take final phone calls with the High Priestess, Maria Burton, on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, July 6th, by the way, I'm going to be doing the show live out of Roswell, New Mexico. Guess what we'll be talking about? So if you're in that area, come on out. It'll be a nice little weekend. It's around the 4th of July weekend anyway. But we're going to be doing the show live from Roswell. Ian Punnett sits in for me tomorrow night. So make sure you're also part of that, and I shall rush right back to the studios for Monday. And we'll come right back and take final phone calls with the High Priestess in a moment. Okay, we're back with Priestess Maria Burton and your calls. This is our final half hour. Goes by pretty fast, Maria, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
To the phones we go. Let's pick it up, first of all, by going to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
It's good to talk to you, and I've really enjoyed this thing, Maria. It's very interesting.
She's refreshing, isn't she?
She really is. I'm really impressed. I had a back in 1969, I was a student, and I had a professor who was, I was his work study. He had me in a class. He asked me to be his work study. And it was odd. I thought it was odd at the time because he would send me off to do library work, and then we would meet for a couple of times a week and never really talked about what I was researching. At the time, I was quite smart, except socially, I suppose, and quite intelligent and quite beautiful. And it never occurred to me that he liked me.
Well, that's the first thing that occurred to me.
It just never occurred. And in fact, all these years, it didn't occur to me until just about a year ago. And but the thing was that he, you know, we spent the year together. Really, I just liked him a whole lot. He was also quite handsome, too. But it just never, I thought, because he was a professor and I was a student, it never occurred to me that that was a possibility either. And so when I went away for the summer before my senior year, and I got him somebody to do work study for him while I was gone. He never bothered to contact that person, though, it turns out. And he was coming back. I talked to him one night. And we were going to meet the next day, and we had quite a lovely conversation on the phone. The next day, I went to his office, and he wasn't there. And anyway, to make a long story short, he had died.
Yeah, I know. That's what I picked up.
And of a massive heart attack or something, I understand. So that night, I went to my cousin's house, and we had messed with the Ouija board from time to time. Pardon me, I'm a little bit nervous, and this is a little bit emotional, too. We had done the Ouija board from time to time, but nothing big, you know, but we got it out that night and tried to contact him. And we got him. And he started telling us things and giving us numbers, and it scared both of us out of our wits. And we put it up, and neither one of us have ever touched a Ouija board ever since. But you said something that made me wonder. Well, early on in the program, you said sometimes, you know, people can hang on like, spirits that haven't gone on, or actually, you were saying people can do incantations or use voodoo to make you, like a rival, be fat. Well, right after that, I started inexplicably gaining a lot of weight, and I struggled and struggled and struggled with it all my life. The other thing that began happening with me, and this has been true all these years, that every boyfriend, every fiancé, all that, they die.
They die, all of them?
They die, yes. They die. Did you ever see Northern Exposure, you know, and how Maggie had those boyfriends, you know? They would just die on her. Well, you know, some of my friends started calling me Maggie. And, you know, it's like for a long time I thought I was the jinx, but then I really have done a lot of work, emotional work, counseling, spiritually, you know, and it's like I don't feel like all that's attached to me anymore. I mean, in terms of like I'm not blaming myself, you know. I may have chosen some wrong people perhaps sometimes, but sometimes it was just random. And I just wonder, after you were talking about this, and then, like I said, it was just last year that it suddenly dawned on me that this man liked me.
I think he was in love with you.
Simple as that.
Simple
as that. Okay, thanks. Let's move on to East of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, my name is Jay. I'm from Chicago.
Hey, Jay.
I had a couple, actually, I want to say first, thank you, Mr. Norrie, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I had a couple questions for Matt. Maria. Santeria is somewhat close to voodoo, correct?
Yes. It's just okay. A particular style that is practiced in Cuba, Puerto Rico, you know, depending upon the region of where that, but it all comes from West Africa. It's when they brought the slaves there, they had their own type of voodoo.
Okay, because I had a gentleman actually approach me, and I used to work at a grocery store, and he was actually a county sheriff, and approached me and tried to get me to join. And I was actually relatively interested, you know, because I'm not, you know, I want to learn as much as I can. And but the only thing that scared me, and I was just curious if possibly my life might have been endangered due to the fact that what turned me off was the fact that he talked about they sacrifice live chickens and they spill the blood and then worship and pray. And right then, that's what scared me. And I was wondering if, you know, because it's kind of almost underground to the fact that he, you know, tried to almost recruit me out of the blue. And then I was just like, then he told me about live sacrifice, and I'm like, uh-oh, that's just kind of weird. You know, I don't mind, you know, because I researched it online, and I understood, you know, what it was about and the magic and everything.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I wanted to bring that issue up, that not all forms of styles of voodoo practice animal sacrifice, and yes, some of the more traditional styles do. I'm actually a member of PETA, and I'm against any kind of animal cruelty. And I think that that's why this negative image of voodoo exists, because sometimes, you know, people associate it with that. And, you know, there's a lot of people that could still practice voodoo, but you don't necessarily have to feel that you have to practice that style of voodoo.
What would make some practitioners of voodoo go the wrong way?
Well, in what particular way are you speaking of?
You
mean like go to the black arts?
To do curses, to be a Satanist. And I guess a lot of religions, there's always a bad apple in that.
It had more to do with that particular individual. You know, as I said before, they usually are that way to begin with. The religion itself does not make the person evil. Maybe they will seek out a particular religion because they're that way to begin with, or whatever your version of evil is. But usually, like I said, could be circumstances in their life that could make a person turn to the black arts. Maybe they feel magic is being used against them. You know, just different reasons.
Okay, next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Teresa. I think I'm just outside of Richmond. I drive a truck.
Okay,
Virginia.
Teresa, hi.
My question is, Maria, what is the correlation to the voodoo religion to, per se, the Wiccan or the pagan religions?
Actually, you know, I have a great respect for Wiccans. It's the philosophy is different, I would probably say, because I've had some people contact me and, you know, some of the philosophy is different than the Orthodox style of voodoo. Let's just put it that way.
I am Wiccan is why I ask. And I haven't, I've kind of been interested in the voodoo religion, but I haven't really gotten that far. I'm a solitary practitioner and researching this and myself. You know, of course, I have other friends that are also Wiccan. But a lot of people don't understand is some Wiccans are pagan also, but not all pagans are. Not all Wiccans are pagan.
Yes.
But all pagans are Wiccan. So it's kind of a catch 22 there, and there are different beliefs and you know the way things are, because you know, you're talking about your spells and all of that, and I didn't know if it was, you know, any correlation with, so you know, those religions or not.
Yeah. What would make you, like you said, you're a Wiccan, why would you be interested in voodoo? What attracts you to voodoo?
Just curiosity.
Just curiosity.
Yes. It wouldn't necessarily be that I would convert to voodoo or you know, it's just that I have a great respect for everyone. I mean, everyone has their own religion.
Yes.
And their own beliefs, and I have a lot of respect for that. Be it if you're Catholic or you're voodoo, or if you're voodoo and Catholic, or if you're a Baptist, or, you know, it doesn't matter to me what religion you are. To me, we all serve the same purpose, and we all serve a superior God. So, you know, the Wiccan part of it, you know, we just have the male and the female side of it. And, you know, putting the goddess first. So that's, you know, I didn't know. I just didn't know which, how, you know.
It's complementary, but obviously it's not exactly the same, but it's still magic. You know, because voodoo is religion and a magical element, you know, so it's similar, but I noticed that obviously the philosophies are not exactly the same. I've never had any problem with Wiccans. Surprisingly, you know, some issues that I have had been from people that were in astrology, strangely enough. I don't know why that is. People that were astrologers, you know.
Let's go to a few more calls, and then we're going to call it a night. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
I'm Linda, and I'm calling from Canada.
Sure.
Windsor, Ontario. And I would like to ask your priestess a question about salt.
Okay.
Like, what is the importance of salt, and have you ever used it, and what uses, you know, do you use it?
Yes, of course, salt. I get that question a lot. Cleansing, protection. Some people will sprinkle salt around the barrier of their home for protection. Some people will use black salt for getting rid of negativity, or maybe casting towards where an enemy lives. That's kind of hoodoo. That's more hoodoo than voodoo.
Okay, thank you.
Hoodoo than voodoo. Explain that again.
Yeah, hoodoo is different than voodoo. Hoodoo is not really a religion. Voodoo is a religion. But basically, what goes for a lot of people will practice hoodoo. And what hoodoo is folk magic. It's a combination of African folk magic. It's a combination of European and also Native American.
Okay.
It's a mixture.
Very good. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi there. Is it me?
Yes, sure is you.
Hi, George. First of all, Maria, thank you very much. This has been a wonderful show.
Oh, thank you.
I've been a magical practitioner myself for more than 40 years.
Wow.
And just out of curiosity, had tried to learn some about voodoo from books. And it's been really, really educational to hear it from an actual practitioner.
You know, and I want to thank you for saying that, because a lot of times when you read it in a book, it's really all you see are spells or how to do this. And then really, until you talk to someone that is actually living voodoo, practicing voodoo, I mean, that's their job. That's when you get a better feel for it.
A much clearer idea. This has been really, really educational. George?
Yeah, dear.
The Ouija board.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Say it.
It's neutral.
Yep.
The Ouija board is not evil.
Ah, so you think I should do that show?
It's a thing. It's completely neutral.
It's a tool.
It's a tool. The tool is neutral.
See,
it's
what,
the practitioner that is not neutral.
That's what I want to prove. I want to be able to prove that the practitioner is really the Ouija board.
Okay, the Ouija board is not the door, George. You are.
Yep.
Just like if you answer your door at home, if somebody starts to come in that you don't want in there, you're going to shut the door.
That's our fault if they come in.
Right. If they come in and they want to stay forever and it's time for them to go, it's your fault for not dismissing them.
So you think I should go ahead with that show?
I think you're going to do it no matter what I say anyway.
Well, that's true.
Aren't you? So, but what I wanted to stress to you is that, and I have the greatest respect for Dr. Paglini, but she cannot protect you if something comes through there. So it's up to you.
Okay.
to keep yourself protected, to keep your intent really clear. You will only accept, you know, entities that are peaceful. Anybody comes through that you know, has anything you object to, you just say, thank you, we don't wish to speak with you, and send them on their way.
Or I could do a protection spell for you, but if I did that, nothing may come through.
Which might negate the experiment.
Exactly.
Huh.
So keep that in mind.
What happens if my voice changes on the air?
And then we're in trouble.
I think you're going to do it.
Yeah, I probably will. Look, we've only got about a minute or so left. I don't have time for any more calls. I'm sorry so many people have been on hold for such a long time to get to you. Maria, what do you do next? What do you do?
Well, what am I doing next is I'm getting involved with my charities now, and I'm trying to raise awareness, you know, to voodoo and the religion. And like I said, I'm really out there trying to change the image of voodoo and make it more appealing to people. And like that last caller said, you know, a lot of people, they have a great love for animals and respect for animals. And it's not that the other practitioners don't. It's just that they're practicing the older style, and that's how they were taught. But I want the newer people out there to realize that, you know what, there are more modern styles of voodoo out there that, you know, you can tune into.
Well, let's hope that that is absolutely the case. And I want to thank you again for spending the 3 hours with us. Something I've always wanted to do, and we've done it. And you made it happen.
Thank you.
All right. That's the High Priestess, Maria Burton. As I mentioned, Ian Punnett will sit in for me tomorrow, and then I'll be right back on Monday. Art Bell on Saturday and Sunday. For Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ross Mitchell, Alan Corbett, Stephanie Smith, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.